2 Timothy in chapter number 3. Of course, remember to pray for laborers. Amen. For the Lord to send forth laborers into the harvest. And so we want to keep that before us as well. In 2 Timothy chapter number 3, we've been studying the last days and what the Bible says here. And I know it's intriguing, and I know, you know, there's some that get so focused on it they forget the rest, and that's not wise. But it's, at the same time, it's important to study these things as the Bible does present it to us. And we've been looking, and you cannot help but look around you and see a world that is heading full steam ahead for what the Bible describes as the last days. And so it's our responsibility to be prepared for that and to look for these things. And we read here just a couple of verses. We've been covering the whole chapter, but let's just pick out a few verses here. 2 Timothy 3, and verse number 1 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." And what I just read to you pretty much describes the culture in which we're living in today. You skip down there to verse number 7, "Ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." So we looked at the description here, what the Bible describes to be looking for in these last days, and we see that it's right in front of us, this sinful lifestyle. You see this spiritual confusion. I didn't read verse number 5, "having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof." Churches everywhere, right? Every kind of church, you know, basically it's out there for whatever you're looking for, but those things aren't important. We need more churches that preach what the Bible says. But it says there that there's going to be a lot of spiritual confusion in these last days. Again, a surplus of knowledge, as we just read in verse number 7. And then a lot of scoffing of the truth. But these things we're supposed to be watching for. And you'll see it there in verse number 9. "But they shall proceed no further. Their folly shall be manifest unto all men." So these things are not going to be hidden. They're going to be evident. They're going to be made manifest. So we talked about our first point a couple weeks ago, is that we should be watching for these things, and we shouldn't be shocked by these things. As a child of God, now it should bother us, especially as an American, to see certain things happening. But as through spiritual eyes, we should look out and not be shocked by what's going on. Nor should we, you know, try to build a barricade around us and hide, all right? Everybody live on a compound and just try to avoid everything. Matter of fact, the Bible teaches completely opposite of that. That in these last days, we as believers should redeem the time. Reach out to as many as we can and be focused, and we're going to look at that today, Lord willing. But again, we're supposed to be looking for these things, watching for these things. There are certain other signs that we talked about that the Word of God teaches that we should be looking for, and we've seen those things, starting with the nation of Israel in 1948, being a nation once more. We've seen a one-world government and the direction heading towards that, which has to be according to the book of Revelation. And again, we looked at those things already. And so we see everything kind of spiraling to what the Word of God says, and we're supposed to be watching for it. And when we see it, to lift up our eyes, amen, and to be looking for the return of Christ, but using this time wisely. So we are to be watching. Then we started last week, number 2, the second point in this passage of Scripture is we are to withstand. There are certain things we're going to have to face during the last times. In verse number 1 in 2 Timothy 3, that in the last days perilous times shall come. All right, there's going to be some peril here. We jump down there to verse number 10. Paul assures them. He says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience." Verse 11, persecutions, afflictions. And then he kind of reminds them where he faced persecution, where he was afflicted for his faith. But at the end of verse number 11, he said this, he's giving them their confidence, "But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. And I don't know what all we are going to have to face, or our children or our grandchildren, as things work towards this end. But the fact is this, out of it all, for the child of God, the Lord will deliver. Amen for that. There is a promise in the scripture here. But we're supposed to understand as we enter these days and understand that there's going to be some peril. There's going to be some persecution. All that live godly. Next verse. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I know that we want to live in this utopia and never have to have a problem, but it just isn't going to happen, especially as we end and head towards these last days. So we see we're going to have to withstand. Now, entering it with the understanding, the Lord delivers us. But then we started to look in verse number 12 there that not only will the Lord deliver, but the loyal are going to suffer. It's just inevitable. All that live godly shall suffer persecution. There's going to be some persecution. We've not faced a lot of that. We've lived in a wonderful time. For many years now in this country, God's people have been able to preach freely, teach freely, soul win freely. I think the worst persecution most of us have ever faced is someone saying no, or shutting the door on us, right? I mean, we just haven't had to suffer a whole lot, but we can see now, turn on the news, all right? Things are starting to go beyond those steps now. And we looked at this pattern as established in the book of Acts when persecution first began. There was threatenings, and then there was physical imprisonment and even beatings, and then there was death. Not only will you find that in the book of Acts, but you'll find that if you pick up any history book and you begin to study history especially of our forefathers, you'll see the same things. There was threatenings and then beatings and imprisonment and then even death. And so you see the same pattern repeated over and over again. We are told in the last days there's going to be perilous times. And we understand that those who live godly are going to suffer persecution. So we took a step back last week, and we want to do that again and turn over to the book of Acts with me one more time. Let's finish up this part of this lesson. So we looked in Acts in chapter number 4 at the very first moment of persecution that the Lord's church faced. In Acts chapter number 4, here, Peter and John had gone into the temple. A lame man was healed. The Jewish leaders didn't like it, and they brought them in for questioning. They couldn't deny that a miracle had taken place, and so the end of that was simply this. They threatened them. In Acts chapter number 4 and in verse number 17, it says, "But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth no man in his name." And they did that. They threatened them. We don't know what all they threatened them with, but we do know as we turn the pages that the next thing that happens is they're brought in and they're beaten, and then they're released. But Peter and John rejoice that they were counted worthy to suffer for the cause of Christ. You turn the next page over and you'll find Stephen, for preaching the truth, was not only threatened and beaten, but he was put to death. Then you turn the next page over and you have Saul being basically given authority to go around and do that, threaten people, beat them, imprison them, and even put them to death as he's sent out and he heads towards Damascus to do that. And we know how the Lord changed that story. Amen. But you have this pattern going on, but this is the very first time that the Lord's church now is going to face persecution. Look in verse number 23. After they're threatened, they go back and report into the church. It says, "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them." So now they face this first persecution. What can we learn from the early church in dealing with persecution? In verse number 24, you see number one, that there was great unity. It says, "And they, when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord." It's important that the church, and that's why the Lord prayed it, all right, in the Gospels, that his people would be one. That is why Hebrews says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, and so much more as you see the day approaching." We need each other. We need the church. We need great unity. Don't let the devil bring divisions within the body. All right? It's his will that there be no schisms and no divisions, Paul said. So there has to be great unity. And you see here that there was. They all lifted up their voice in one accord. Not only was there unity, but there was great understanding. In verse number 24, it says they lifted up their voice with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God. They understood who God is. If we're going to face times of persecution, we need to understand who God is. He is the creator and he holds the crown. Amen. But who God is. And then they understood what the scripture said. You notice here at the continuing in that verse, it says, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is them is. In verse 25, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Now they go to the word of God to find comfort and strength in times of persecution. They understand who God is and they praise him for who he is. And then they look into this book. I don't know what we're going to face in the next 20, 30 years if the Lord doesn't return, but I promise you this, we need to be a unified church. We need to understand who God is and praise him and look to him and then get our strength and guidance from the word of God. They went back to Psalm chapter number 2, which is an entire psalm about how the world rages against them, how the heathen and all that they're saying and the threatenings, but it's all in vain, the psalmist said. And then we saw the world's collapse, not just the world's cry, but the world's collapse in the book of Psalms in chapter number 2. How did the Lord, when he hears them threatening and how they're going to win, the Lord laughs from in heaven, all right? He's still on the throne. And then the Lord with his language, with just the power of his words, can stop anything and control everything. And so we see, and they draw strength from this scripture, and then they end Psalm chapter number 2 on how to respond, to serve the Lord and to kiss the Son, all right? And to trust in him for his blessings. In other words, live for the Lord, love the Lord, and lean on the Lord. And so they drew their strength from the word of God. So here in Acts, we see their unity. We see their understanding. Now, let's skip down here to verse number 29. And all they do, they quote here. Well, let's just read it for, it's a good. All right, but they're drawing from Psalm 2. We'll continue reading verse 26. The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against the holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. Now, the psalmist in Psalm 2, it was all the people against, that were gathered, the kings of the earth, that were against the Jews, that were against God's people. Now the New Testament church is taking the Old Testament scriptures and applying it to their lives. All things are written aforetime for our learning. All right, you say, well, the Old Testament's for the Jews. Obviously, it's for us in this New Testament time as well, because the early church took what it and applied it to what they were facing. That's good for us to do too. But now they apply it, because you're not going to find Pilate mentioned in the Psalms chapter number 2. All right, but that's who was doing that now, and so they apply it in verse number 28. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. In other words, God, you're going to take care of this. Verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. So you see, the early church in facing persecution had great unity, had great understanding. Now we've completely caught up. Here's where we want to pick up. They also had great unction. They had great unction. So what do you mean by that? Well, number one, they surrendered to the battle to God. They didn't go buy swords. They didn't go and, build a compound. Verse 29, they said, Lord, you heard them. You know what they said. They didn't go hide. They didn't go run to the rocks, right? Instead, they surrendered the battle to God. And then you see in verse number 29, they sought boldness from God. It says there, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. I know things are a little bit different now than they were 5 years ago, than they were a year ago, right? You hear things going on in the United States of America towards churches that 6 months ago you had never thought. And I don't know how bad it's going to get. I don't know, it may get a lot better. But I do know this, that before the Lord returns in the last days, there will be more perilous times. And I can't deny 2 Timothy chapter number 3, it says, and we'll look at it today, that it's going to get worse. You can't deny that. So what do we as a church need to do? Well, take these first steps, but then we too just need to give it to God. Now, we have certain responsibilities as American. We have certain responsibilities, and I understand that. All right, and praise the Lord for the freedoms that we have. But we have to trust the Lord. Because a lot of times, if we're not careful, and I guess this is just preventative maintenance for days ahead, because I don't know what we're going to face, and I'm not a doomsday guy, you know that, all right? I've already said, the Lord delivers us. In the end, we win, all right? But the fact is this, I don't know what may happen, but let's not have any knee-jerk reactions. Let's always first go to the Lord. Let's always first seek Him. Before we ever, you know, get all up in arms about something, let's first say, God, you know what's going on. The church was so wise here. You know, Peter did not ever get up and get them all, you know, charged up and say, let's go, you know, surround the temple and protest, all right? He didn't do any of that, all right? He just went, reported what had gone on, and then the church unified, looked to God, praised Him for who He is, drew strength from the Scriptures, and then said, now, Lord, we know who You are. We know what You've promised. This battle's Yours. You know what they've threatened us with. And I don't know. The Bible says they threatened Him and let Him go. I can tell by reading the next few pages that there was imprisonments, beatings, and stonings. I don't know exactly what they said, but the church didn't, you know, throw up the white flag. They said, Lord, You heard it. It's Yours. And then they asked for something which is just awesome. They said, God, give us boldness. Because it wasn't going to be easy. The times of just walking out and just talking freely were going to be limited now. It wasn't going to be, you know, as simple as it was. So they said, Lord, give us boldness, not that we would push an agenda, not that we can share our points, not that we can, you know, have our opinions and let them be known, but what was it they asked for boldness for? The Word of God. It says there in that verse, it says, give us boldness that we may speak Thy Word. It was the Word of God. Let me tell you something, Christian. You're going to be tempted with all the means of outlet that we have. We can write, we can type, we can post, we can tweet, we can do all these different things. And let me tell you, as things get worse, take every right you have as an American, but as a Christian, you need to have boldness in speaking His Word. Because the world in this country isn't going to change because you don't like the way it's going. The only hope it has is the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to take the opportunity to share the Word of God. Be it conversations, be it a track, be it a... That's why, you know, and we'll talk about it tonight in the evening service. I'm going to show you what all you have at your fingertips, all right? But we try as a church to put out Scripture every day, a thought of Scripture, to put out a devotion every day. And you know, I know you know a lot of these things, but it's there for us to be encouraged by and then share it. Share it. Share it. Because there's plenty of negativity out there. There's plenty of bad things, and there's plenty of opinions and plenty of cursings. Let's get the Word of God out there. Let's do everything we can to share the truth and speak up. Talk to people. You say, well, they may not like it. Most of them won't. That's why it's called perilous times. If they were hugging you and kissing you and saying, thank you for telling me that, it wouldn't be perilous times, all right? But still, that's why it wasn't easy. They said, Lord, give us boldness. We need this unction. We need this power. We need You to enable us what this society needs now more than ever is the Word of God. So may we do the same thing. There was unity, understanding, there was unction, and then the unbelievable happened. the unbelievable happen. In verse number, we'll just keep reading there. In verse number 30, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. God's power was seen. Amen. It says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. The unbelievable happened. Number one, God's power is seen. As they all went to prayer and supplication, the place was shaken, the Spirit moved, and they all began to speak with boldness. If we need anything in these days, we need the same thing. May we in these last days not get scared. May we in these last days not run, right? May we not hide, but may we understand now more than ever, we as a church need to pray together. We as families, we as individuals need to seek God. We need to allow God to move in our lives. We need to allow the Holy Spirit of God to have control of our lives. And may we speak the word of God as never before with great boldness. Pray. I've asked you to pray every day for laborers, as Jesus asked us that. But I want to encourage you to start praying every day, God, give me boldness. Not pride, not arrogance, but just boldness to speak up for the name of Christ. You see, God's power is seen, the unbelievable happened. And then you see in verse 32 down to verse 37, God's people began to share. See, what did they share? Verse 32, they shared one I put for alliteration purpose, that one pulse or one heart. Verse 32, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart. They had one cause. All of them were so unified, it was that same beating, that same heart. Say, what is that heart? A heart for Christ. A heart for His Word. A heart for souls. They shared one heart. They shared a heart. They shared a pulse. And then keep reading. They shared a purse. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Verse 34, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Now don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to sell all your property and bring it to the church, all right? But what I am saying is here, all right, because the Lord teaches in other scriptures, he's not teaching some communist socialist society, all right? But during this time of persecution, understand when the Jewish leaders said, you know, Shane Davis, he's a follower of this Jesus, he no longer could own a business. He no longer could sell. No one would buy from him. The Jews would walk right past his market. Oh, he's one of them. You say, well, that would never happen in these days. Read a history book. And then open your eyes. I mean, I don't go down conspiracy trails because I like them, so I don't go down them, all right? So I don't, all right? But the fact is this, all right? It wouldn't take much, one really bad turn, all right? And all of you people out there that don't take vaccines, and all you people that don't wear masks, and all you people that whatever, all right? Fill in the blank, or you are assembling together more than five people. It's not without reason that they aren't going to talk to you either. How dare you assemble as a group? And I'm just saying, I never in my life envisioned how that could happen until the last 3 months. I'm not saying it's going to. I can say, oh wait, it could, right? It's like when I was a kid. I can never imagine how the whole world, when the two witnesses in Revelation are slain, and then the whole world sees them rise from the dead. As a kid, I was just like, how is that possible, right? But now it's just like, oh yeah, my phone, right? And, you know, I mean, it's amazing as we enter these last days how all these things are, oh, I see, right? And the fact is this, they were cut off in these days. And so there came a point when the believer said, we're just going to take care of each other. It wasn't a socialist society. It was that man's going to starve in his family. So, you know, Rick Salee says, I've got an acre of land. I'm going to sell it. And that'll take care of his family and a couple other families for another month. They did that. Because they loved each other, and they loved Christ, and they knew they had a purpose here. That sacrifice like we have never seen. That sacrifice that we've not even imagined, really. But that is something that our grandkids could face. That is something that our children could face, and it's not without reason that it's something that we could go through. And so you see, the church had no problem sharing because they were of one heart. They looked at each other, I know this is a weird thought, as family, which we are. Amen. So they had this one pulse, they had this one purse, and they had this one piece. At the end of verse number 33, it says, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. You say, how could this persecuted church, they were just in survival mode, weren't they? Actually, they boomed like never before. The church exploded. There was persecution. They had to scatter. But I think you pretty much are all aware of this. They went out and started other churches. And the word of God went all around the entire world. That's why we're sitting here today. Amen? Things did not end. It took off. Matter of fact, every time in the word of God you see persecution upon the people of God, it ends with this: God's people become more real, more active, and more on fire than ever before. While I don't look forward to any times of persecution, while it's nothing that I desire, I can't help but sit back and think sometimes, just as a student of the Word of God, that you've watched the last 50, 60 years as the church has kind of been left alone, and instead of exploding, it brought the world into it. And it began to compromise, and you know, standards dropped, and everything dropped, and now there's rock concerts on church platforms, and everything began to just, and it, what it did, it made a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. There's no power, and there's a weakness. There's no knowledge of the Word of God. Now let that assembly, let those groups be hit with persecution. Most will fold. Because there's no depth. And only those who are serious are going to go forward. Maybe we need some of that. Maybe we need challenged. Maybe we, you know, instead of just saying, well, that's what they teach at church, maybe we need to stand before a group of a council or something, and they look at us and say, give us Bible why you believe that. So there was a time of persecution, but the unbelievable happened. The church took off. It exploded. It did great things. So go back now, and we'll wrap this up in Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter number 3, and I'll wrap this up today, we are to watch. We are to withstand. We're to withstand in 2 Timothy 3, understanding the Lord delivers. We are to withstand, understanding that the loyal are going to suffer. In verse number 12, we are to withstand, understanding that lust is going to get worse. In verse number 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. As we approach the last days, it's not going to get better. Things are going to get worse when it comes to deception, false teaching, evil. These evil men are going to wax worse and worse. But we're going to withstand. We got to go on because God says we win. It's nice to know that you're going to win. It kind of gives you confidence day by day. So we are able to withstand. And then our third point, we're done in this passage description in the last days, is we have a job to do. We have to work. We must work now. Not hide, not quit, not surrender, but work. Understand in verse number 14, learning must be a priority. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hath been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now, what's the context of this chapter? We're in the last days. What's the context? You're going to see these things in the last days. Deception is going to get worse. Evil is going to get worse. You as a believer are going to win. The Lord's going to deliver you. But in verse number 14, living in these days, notice some words there, learned, assured, knowing, learned. In other words, learning must be a priority. In other words, knowing in the days that we live in, when you sit in church, you ought to be all ears. Man, you ought to pay attention. You ought to take notes. You ought to glean and say, all right, God, I need it. We're in the last days. I need this today. I want this today. Every Sunday school time, every institute, every Thursday night, any chance you get to turn on something and listen to good preaching, the Word of God, study the book, get in the book. But it is time to learn like never before. It is time to get to learn things. It is time to be assured of things. There's lots of things I know, but it's nice to be assured of it. You know, I've always believed in more. I study the Bible in a pre-trib rapture. But Brother Alexander, one Sunday morning, preached a message just on that. And, you know, it just assured in my heart things. And what a blessing that is. You know, when you hear, we all know we should pray. But as I study prayer, and it assures me of how wonderful prayer is, we all know we need to know, we have to learn, we have to be assured of these things in these last days. To the Christian, now more than ever before, we need this building, we need the teaching, we need the assembling, we need Sunday school, we need all these things, so much the more, Hebrews, as you see the day approaching. We need it. So learning must be a priority, but also in verse number 15, teaching must be a priority. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. He said, now remember, in light of the last days, you have been taught, you know these things, you learn these things. And where did it start, Timothy? As a child, his mother and his grandmother taught him. Timothy, in these last days, teach. Put these seeds in people's hearts. Praise the Lord for the kids' ministry going on next door. Praise the Lord for our Sunday school classes, for our bus, for our junior church, for the school ministry, for every opportunity we can get to help these kids learn these things. Because in the last days, they're going to need it. In the last days, they're going to need it. They're going to need to know these things like never before. So learning must be a priority. Teaching must be a priority. And then for all of us, perfecting must be a priority. Verse number 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The word perfect doesn't mean without any flaws, but it means mature, grown up, put together. We better be there. Because entering the last days, if we are trying to be as Corinth Christians were, just babes in Christ and not able to go on to other doctrines, just having church, being entertained, and church is nothing more than a social time and a concert and a playground. Well, in these perilous times, you're going to struggle. You'll probably quit. But to the child of God who has said, I know what day in which I live. I'm going to learn what I can. I want to get assured of what I know. I want to teach it to all these children. I want to get it settled in all of our hearts so that when we face it, we will stand. We have a job to do. And in these days, thoroughly furnished unto all, what's the last two words in this chapter? What should I be doing in these last days? Good works. It's not time to hide. It's not not time to surrender. It's time to get busy and to share the cause of Christ. Let's pray. Father,